Come in.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, it's Colby.
You have a nasty habit of surviving.
Well, you know what they say about the fittest?
Oh my goodness, what does that mean? It's time for another episode of Young Persons Radio with me, your host, Colby Smith. This is the only program on the airwaves where you, the listener, are guaranteed to be cooler than the host. That's right. This is the first live show of the astounding 13-hour run of Sunday talk shows we have here on Radio Free Brooklyn, followed immediately by Points of Order, the great sports talk show, who I'm sure will be talking all about the major leagues, which we will be talking about shortly as well, followed by Pull Request after that, for all your tech needs. Our number, 904-606-0842, that's 904-606-0842, week two into our new call-in studio system here, so give us a run for our money, test it out, making sure it works, call in as soon as you can, 904-606-0842. This is Young Persons Radio with me, Colby Smith, and oh, do we have a great show for you today. We have a great show for you today, but first, couple things we got to get out of the way. Number one, I want to remind everybody that even though we were stumped, we were stopped in our tracks by the New York Landmarks Conservancy refusing to come on this show, the campaign is still alive to get me declared a living landmark. Tweet at them, call them, don't just blow right past the fact that they didn't agree to be on the show. I reached out to them. All signs were pointing towards them doing it, and it didn't happen. Don't even mention it. Don't lobby them to come on. Let's focus on the goal here, people. Get Kolb declared a living landmark for his amazing contributions to the city. Now, what was yesterday but Record Store Day, right? Yes, April 22nd. This was the 10th anniversary of Record Store Day, and this is where you're supposed to go and you're supposed to support your local independent record store and go and buy some things. And artists have they have like special releases that are only available on that day to try and, you know, generate interest in your local store, including a guy we've talked about on this program a lot. Elton John. Elton John had a big release for Record Store Day this year. It was an expanded version of his live album, 11-17-70, with a bunch of extra tracks. And did I get it? No! No, I didn't. I'm going to be... I was out of town. I didn't get to go rush the stores. I was at the Albany Improv Festival, which was a lot of fun. But as a result, if any of you monsters have a copy out there and are willing to share, or are willing to point me in the direction of a store that still has them in stock, I am available all week. Now, for this promo, Elton John has a special video that he puts up, right? He's wishing, it's just like a little interview with him, and he's wishing Record Store Day a happy 10th anniversary. And it starts off nice and easy, and it sounds a little something like this.
Record Store Day is just a great example to celebrate vinyl. And by any...
He loves vinyl.
Music is wonderful. There are so many different...
Music is wonderful. There are so many different kinds of great music. Some insights from the master here. And it proceeds in this fashion.
You don't have to like that. But it's mostly available on vinyl. And it's great when people buy it and support it. And I'm very, very happy to be involved in it.
So it starts off pretty normal, right? Pretty mayonnaise, right? Pretty about as you'd expect. And then Elton, the interviewer asks a follow-up question, which can only be, say more about that, Elton. And he says,
Because there's just a cornucopia of great music from, you know, David Bowie to Frank Zappa to the Beatles to jazz by Miles Davis.
So he's realizing now, I have mentioned a lot of old music that no one really cares about. I should mention someone contemporary. And the first name he thinks of is...
to the Pet Shop Boys, to Red Hot Chili Peppers, to...
Red Hot Chili Peppers. The idea of Elton John going to one of his six houses after a hard day in the studio and going, I gotta put on something new, and then he reaches for Stadium Arcadium and starts humming along to Danny California is one that I never wanted. But then he continues, he realizes, oop, I need to course correct here. And then he goes back to ancient music.
Beach Boys, they have everything.
They have everything. He just gives up. He's trying so hard. Which, I've seen Elton John in interviews talk about, like cool artists that, like, he clearly knows have some cred. Like, he's mentioned, like, Grimes and St. Vincent. But when pressed, when the rubber really hits the road, who is a new band that Elton John thinks of off the top of his head? It's the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, boy. Oh, Record Store Day. You have given us so much, and some of it we did not want. Some of it we did not want. What else is going on? I've mentioned repeatedly on this program, I'm trying very hard to get into baseball this year. Trying very, very hard. And I took a big step this week, and I went to see the Mets play the Nationals at Citi Field on Friday. And listen, I'm from Maryland, and everyone's like, well, who are you going to root for? Who are you going to root for? The Mets are playing the Nationals. I don't care about the Nationals. First of all, I live here now. And second of all, the Nationals, they weren't even a team until 2005. All of my, like, formative years as, like, a little kid going to baseball games, that was all Orioles games, man. I don't care. I have no affinity for the Nationals. It's a terrible name, by the way. This is the first team that's been in D.C. since 1971, and they were previously called the Washington Senators. So I have a problem with saying I'm a fan of any senators. Any group of senators is a problem for me. However, one thing I did notice about about seeing the Mets play, and I this is perhaps exposing my own naivete, but I didn't realize that the players get to choose their own walk-on music. I want to set the stage for you now. This is if I was a professional baseball player. Picture this. You're up in the rafters. I've got an Orioles jersey on. And the announcer goes, next up to bat, your shortstop, Colby Smith. And then you hear, and then I strike out or something. That's probably how that would go. Welcome back to Young Persons Radio with me, your host, Colby Smith, right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. I want to mention to everybody that Radio Free Brooklyn is brought to you completely independently. We're a nonprofit station now, so if you want to support us, we survive entirely on donations from listeners such as yourselves. So if you want to learn more about how to support the station, go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge. That's RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge. And if you want to sponsor this show in particular, which helps me take care of some of the administrative costs of keeping this thing going, you can go to RFB.NYC/YPR and click the link at the bottom of the page that says sponsor this show. That's RFB.NYC/YPR. And I also want to give a shout out, as I usually do, to our great partner, Secondhand Records, which is located right above us at 1345 DeKalb Avenue, which is right near the Central Avenue stop on the M train and about a 10-minute walk from the DeKalb Avenue stop on the L train. They are open at noon today. Swing on by, pick up a record. They've got a great selection. And I don't think they have any of the promos for Record Store Day. So, you know, this ain't no gimmick store. So swing on by. My guest today is a wonderful comedian who made her bones in the Philadelphia comedy scene and is now joining us in New York. And she's appearing this very night on a show that I host with Matt Strickland called New Bits at Muchmore's in Williamsburg at 7 p.m. Please welcome my friend, Shauna Stultz-Foos.
Hi, Colby.
Hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I'm very glad that you're here.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
All right.
I get all these guests in, and they're like, oh, we started in New York. We only care about New York.
Oh,
everything's,
fuck them.
Everything's flyover country,
what?
But L.A. But not you. Not you.
Not me, man.
You're representing just another East Coast city.
Yes. The common folk of
That's
Pennsylvania.
Right. How many times when you say you're from Philadelphia, do people start going,
literally never, actually. Yeah.
You mean they don't lock eyes with you and sing the Rocky theme song?
Usually no. Usually never. But it's definitely something people associate with Philadelphia.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I should say, I grew up in Lancaster, okay?
I grew up,
that's where I was born. I grew up in Gettysburg area. So I'm like more the Amish folk,
sure,
we should say, than the Philadelphia folk. But that is my comedy scene for sure,
yeah,
is Philadelphia,
yeah.
Yes.
What's the comedy scene like in Lancaster?
You know, Lancaster City is like the center part of Lancaster County. Lancaster County is the mm-hmm. Amish folk, and then like sort of everyone else lives in the city.
Yeah.
And Lancaster City is actually known for being like a very vibrant artistic community. So mm-hmm. there are outlets for comedy there. They've got it all. It's happening, but it's small.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you go to school in Philly, or was it like a conscious, like, I want to live in Philadelphia kind of thing?
It wasn't really any of that. It was just like, I'm going to go there to do like comedy and
okay.
stuff, you know, because it was just the nearest city. So
yeah.
It was just like, I'll go there to do my comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
yeah.
it.
Did you, what were your early experiences like there?
You know, Philly is hard on itself, I will say. They're not really known for being kind to people, but
right.
But you know, the Philly comedy scene's pretty supportive. I think everyone's just kind of has a complex about being like hard on themselves, and you know, it's not the friendliest place in the world, but I think the comedy scene's pretty supportive, so I don't
oh
know.
That's good.
Yeah, my first experiences were just like, come on in and do your
oh that's great
stuff. Yeah, no, for sure.
So when you say people are hard on themselves, does that mean like they never think they're doing well enough?
They never think they're doing yeah. well enough. They always feel like they're in competition with, like, you know, existential forces. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, life is just against them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where do you think that comes from? Because I have heard Philadelphia described, not by me, and, you know, I'm just going to present this. I'm not saying I subscribe
all right,
to all this right. notion or not, as Boston for weirdos.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
because
yeah.
Boston has like all the education. Like, I mean, Philly has like UPenn, and they have plenty of their
sure.
plenty of education. But Boston has that like rich, like Ivy League
yeah, yeah,
tradition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, totally. I mean, I was just in Boston this weekend, and similar thing. Like, it's not known for being a friendly place.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's true.
I had never performed comedy in Boston before this weekend, and so I was kind of like, It doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem like the most welcoming place, like what it's gonna be like. But I will say people who come out to comedy shows were super into it. They loved it. They were like very kind and supportive. But I would say outside of that, it's not the friendliest place. Sure. So it reminded me very much of Philadelphia that way.
Yeah. I do feel I've spent, I don't want to say precious to you, I've been to both repeatedly, but there does seem to be some kind of psychic link. Between the two, Boston's a little farther away from New York, but they're kind of in that
same tier.
Well, and
they're both like founding father cities.
Yes,
I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Like we feel like we have this like uppity sense of like we were here first, which is like very unfounded. So like it's all fraudulent. Like there's nothing beneath it. It's just like a surface level like feeling like we're special, but we're also mean about it. I don't know. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 904-606-0842 is our number, 904-606-0842, if you want to call in and join the fun. Now, Shauna, you and I were talking about what we were going to talk about on the show.
I'm so excited.
And you said, without fail, like right away you were ready with, I have a hot take on the live-action version of 101 Dalmatians
with
Glenn Close.
I am ready to rip this thing to shreds.
I will say
this
movie was very important to me as I was growing up, so it's insane that you mentioned it out of nowhere.
Sure.
I am now yielding the floor to you.
Dude, okay.
To sound off on 101 Dalmatians.
Out the gate, I have a really hot take for you.
Okay, here we
go. Which is, I'm a little bit on the side of Cruella DeVille.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit like, I get her. I get where she's coming from. I like think she has a lot of good points. Okay. I'm not into animal cruelty. And I think, you know, I think that's her blind spot. Other than her blind spot, I think Cruella DeVille is fine and kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she's the best.
So We both rewatched this independently of each other fairly recently.
Such a coincidence.
There is a scene where Anita is like saying like she would only leave the fashion design firm
if
she had a family.
Married.
If she got married and like wanted to raise a family.
What?
And Cruella DeVille says, Cruella DeVille at this point is dressed in like this like black and white business suit with like a fur coat or something.
She says,
more good women have been lost to marriage than to war, famine, disease, or disaster.
Yes, queen!
So third wave feminism is the enemy.
Yes, exactly. She makes so many good points. She does not want Anita to get married and like give up her career.
No.
Which there's no reason for her to do. She does not want her to aspire to marriage, which there's no reason for her to do.
Sure.
She
has no prospects. She says it herself at the beginning of the movie.
Absolutely. Like she is killing it in the fashion game. She does her illustrations, like she does her like fashion sketches. They are divine. Like she is a hot ticket in the fashion world. And she's like, but if only I could have a husband. No.
But
and Cruella sniffs this out a mile away.
Yeah.
She knows. She knows this is bullshit. And she's not afraid to say it. And I'm on her side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, I want to call attention to the meet cute in the park.
Oh my god!
Where
she hits
Jeff Daniels in the face with a purse full of bricks, and then so like they both, because their dogs get it.
Yeah,
they get love.
Yeah,
they like conspire to bring them together.
Yeah,
and they both end up falling in the pond in I guess it's Hyde Park in London.
Idiots.
It's a brief sidebar before I get to this.
To
the sea. It's never explained why Roger is like an American expat video game designer trying to make his name in the London video game design scene.
Why do we need that? We don't need that. That's fine. It's fine.
It's
we don't need
it. It's very strange.
Yeah.
But so they both, so they their clothes are wet. Their only recourse is to go over to Roger's apartment, dry their clothes by the fire.
Right.
And just like hang out in bathrobes.
Which, okay, ladies of the city. If you fall into a pond, this is not your only recourse.
No.
This is
not
even close to what you should do ever.
Not even.
No. Especially, you have a dog. Like, go take care of yourself and your dog and
go
do not accept invitations.
And then they're like, they've got this like hot tea, right?
Yeah.
And then Roger says, do you want another cup of marriage? I mean, tea? Roger.
They just met.
They literally just met.
They have in common one thing. They're dogs.
Yeah.
But they feel this connection.
What a cup of marriage. What? This is within like the first, what, 5-10 minutes of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah. This is like not even the first part of the first act.
Yes.
We're getting, do you want another cup of marriage?
Do you want another cup of marriage?
I don't know why, because it, I guess it's like a part of the animated version where like the dogs bring them together, but like why not just already have them married?
Such a good point. It's such a good point. Or why not just like have a montage or have like a cut to 2 years later?
Yeah, a nice like romantic dating montage.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You could easily do like a, and then 5 years later, we're married.
And then
like,
they get married and he is making enough money as a video game designer in London to afford a very sweet British lady as a nanny.
Oh my God. Okay, but wait.
Who they do you just want call
another,
nanny?
Do you want another cup of marriage? I'm not done with this.
Okay.
Because
okay.
After this, what happens is she's like, I do.
Yeah.
And he goes, you do? And she says, I do. And then they kiss and then it's the wedding!
Yeah. They make out and immediately get married.
I do. You do? I do. First of all, that is not a proposal.
No.
A proposal is, will you marry me? Yes.
No.
This is, I do, you do? And yeah. He doesn't know whether she means tea
or
marriage.
Whoa.
No. Anyway, sorry. Okay.
Maybe this is why Cruella de Vil comes down so hard on Anita at the beginning, because she knows she'll just throw it all away for any old Tom, Dick, or Harry who comes along.
She has this brilliant sketch potential. And she's wasting it away on, I do, you do?
Yeah.
On Cup of Marriage Boy, which we all know is moronic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, they don't have a child, right? So it's just like she stays at home to take care of their two dogs and she needs a nanny.
Yes. What is wrong with Anita? She needs to wake up.
I don't know.
She has this whole career opportunity she's throwing away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to, since we're on the subject, we have to shout out Horace and Jasper.
Yeah.
As Hugh Laurie. And the guy who plays Ron Weasley's dad.
Yeah. I mean, they're just what, Marv and Harry from Home Alone? That's who they are in this movie. That's their role. Yeah, for sure.
They,
just a lot of Pratts, a lot of pratfalls, a lot of like getting hit in the face with things.
Yeah.
That's their role.
Or getting at one point they fall on an electric fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
In the crotchal region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, where else?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There is, I will say, if you would indulge me, one joke I'd really like.
Okay.
Where she says, you guys have won the gold, silver, and bronze of being an idiot. And Jasper says, who won the gold?
You know what? I'm here for that joke. That joke is fine with me.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. That I don't want to say that joke redeems the whole movie.
I mean, kind of.
904-606-0842 is our number. 904-606-0842. Give us a call. You a big Disney movie fan in general?
Yeah, I think so. I think most kids like of our generation were, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We were always, there was always a lot of discussion in my, Christian family of whether, which ones were okay to watch and which ones were not.
Any
of the ones with witchcraft, not so much.
What's one? I'm trying to think of one with, Snow White comes to mind, but that's,
Yeah, I think The Hunchback of Notre Dame had a little bit of stuff in it.
You know what? I don't think I watched that one either when I was growing up.
Yeah, yeah. Sleeping Beauty might have had a little bit of stuff in it.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah. So Sleeping Beauty was my fave.
Aha. One.
There is, though. I mean, the witch is the main character.
Right.
Or not the main character, but the main bad guy. And she turns herself into a dragon. And
we were allowed to watch them once we were older. But, like, I don't have the greatest memories of those because I just didn't watch them as much. But, like, we were big into, like, Aladdin, which Aladdin has magic in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
And Lion King was a big one. And
King.
Great, for sure.
Tying it all back to EJ, Elton John.
Of course. Always tying him in.
We have a caller on the line.
Oh, let's
see. Shauna.
All right.
I am going to welcome him or her to the program now. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, this is local comedian James Cross.
Oh, my goodness. James Cross.
Hi, James.
Hey, Shana, hey, you're from Philly, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right.
How's it going, guys?
It's going well, man. You show up, you bring it. That's right. You brought it this morning,
you
James.
Know me.
Just like Rocky.
This morning, I feel like I should end here.
You don't want to outdo yourself.
I haven't called in since I think the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you were a guest on the second episode. One of my highest rated episodes.
The record for the most calls.
That's right.
So take that, Liz Geary.
So James, what's on your mind this morning?
Nothing.
James, what do you think?
I haven't watched.
What do you think about 101 Dalmatians? Did you see it?
I have seen it.
Yeah.
I love the lady, you want to root for her. So I saw her, being scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely into animal cruelty, which is not cute. But other than that, she is...
That's the worst thing in the world, yeah.
I mean... It's pretty bad, to be honest. But, you know, people are genuinely, I think, good with blind spots. And that's just her blind spot.
Oh.
She just needs to grow. She needs to grow from there.
Blind spots? People are like, whoa.
Yeah, someone really just needed to sit Cruella de Vil down.
Right. She just needs to, understand.
Yeah.
She needs some empathy.
Like, maybe that creepy bald guy who does all the skinning for her, whose name is Mr. Skinner.
He, loves to skin a dog. He loves it. Yeah. He gets so excited when he sees
He's
a dog
so
that
happy.
He gets to skin.
Yeah. James just called in to be the live studio audience.
Yeah. James, let me tell you something else, though. Okay. In this movie, this dog, Perdita, is that her name? The mommy dog?
Yeah.
Perdita, she has 15 puppies.
Yeah.
Does that seem like a crazy number to you?
I thought they had a lot of puppies, dogs, right? They don't
look,
have
maybe 15 is normal, but I feel like it should have been four.
It's definitely not normal. They have two dogs. Go ahead, James, go ahead.
Yeah. Wait, no, where did the 101 come from?
So they steal they steal
Good
a bunch
question.
From other people, and it adds up to 101.
Oh.
That this is just 15 of the stuff. That the book or the movie could have really been about any of the families they stole dogs from.
Yeah, I have some issues with that as well.
This happens to just be the most interesting one, I guess.
Yeah, so
this movie is part heist movie.
Yeah,
exactly.
Except that the heist happens completely off screen, and at one point you just see Mr. Skinner like adding up dogs, and then he circles 101 on a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. You never see where they get these other puppies. They're like, we stole them, and then it's 101. But the original family only had 15, but from one litter.
Yeah.
I can't get over that. That seems like too many puppies for one dog to have.
It is. So I had my childhood dog had puppies, and she was not a Dalmatian, but she had 8.
Wow.
But that's still almost half as many as this one.
15.
Yeah.
If anyone knows how many puppies Dalmatians normally have, we need you to call in and tell us, because
that's right.
I'm not done freaking out about
that's
it. That
right.
seems like too many.
904-606-0842.
Yeah. For sure.
So James, you were with me at the Mets game on Friday.
I was. It was so cold.
Yeah, it was very cold.
Wow.
That's all I remember from the game, just being like, what's still going on?
I know. I know. I feel like stuff happened that I just forget because it was freezing. A guy broke a bat. You remember that guy? A guy broke a bat.
What? No.
Yeah.
On the field?
Yeah. Yeah, like when he was, like, one of the Mets.
Oh, that's kind of cool. A
Met.
Yeah. A guy didn't just come out from the stands and break a bat over his knee. It was a guy, batting on the Mets.
Wait, so he hit the ball so hard the bat broke?
James remembers that it was cold.
Well, so he hit the ball. It actually was a foul ball, so it amounted to nothing. But, he broke the bat on this pitch.
Okay. Also, I like the choice that if you had a baseball song, it would be rolling.
Yeah. It would be that whole, it would be 90 seconds of rolling. I wouldn't start, I wouldn't let them pitch to let that all finished.
They'd be like, Colby, get up here. You'd be like, make them wait.
What would you be doing? Just like waiting in the dugout, or would you be like running around or something?
I think I'd be mugging to the crowd. I'd be like pointing at him with my bat.
Oh, like very like Gaston, just like randomly flexing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, James. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Yeah, you got it,
James.
Buddy.
There he goes. James Cross, local comedian.
Well, he's a delight.
That's right. 904-606-0842, 904-606-0842, if you would like to call in and join the fun.
It's such a good point that you made about how we never see these other families that they take the dogs from. And also at the end, like when they're like, we don't know how to give these puppies back.
Yeah.
You don't know?
Yeah.
There's not people in the city freaking out about their lost Dalmatian puppies.
All their dogs are gone.
All their puppies are gone and like nobody said anything. There's not like lost puppy flyers
signs
up
everywhere. Yeah.
There's not like a news story about how 100 puppies are missing.
That's right. Someone should do like a spotlight or All the President's Men about the hotshot reporter who put all this together.
Yes.
All
I'm saying is like if someone stole a litter of puppies from me, I would be making noise. They just have no idea how to give any of these puppies back.
Yeah.
Put an ad in the paper, asshole.
Exactly.
Say we have 100 puppies. Are you missing some? Call this number. Come on. I don't know. They're just like, well, I guess we'll keep them. You greedy bitches. You cannot raise 101 Dalmatians. You cannot. You cannot raise that many puppies. We'll no one can. No human being.
I forgot that they...
No human being. The final shot is a zoom out of their property, and it's 101 fucking puppies.
That's right.
Running around. No human can raise that many dogs.
Well, it's the two of them with no children and the nanny. What else are they going to do?
No. I will not stand for it, Colby. I will not stand for this. Come and get your puppies.
Come and get your puppies.
God damn it.
Oh, my goodness. Caller, can you hear me? Welcome to the program.
I can hear you.
Is this Marta?
Marta?
Hello, Marta.
Hi, Marta.
Hello.
How you're on with me and Shauna. How are you this morning?
I can't understand what you're saying. Shauna, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Shauna. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, Marta.
So you guys just, not that I'm like cool or anything, but you just sound like a bunch of dorks talking about 101 Dalmatians.
Well, Marta. Marta, not all of us were hanging out at Surf Reality in the cool 1990s Lower East Side scene.
What happened to Aladdin and fucking Lion King? That shit sucks.
Marta, what cool movies were you watching as a kid?
Okay, let's see. Oh well, how about The Point?
The Point? I don't even know what that is. Tell me about The Point.
Okay, the point is, okay, so the cool thing about when I was raised and blah, 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 these cartoons or whatever would come on once a year, and it'd be a big deal, and there was this one called The Point, and it was about a little boy named Oblio who was born without a point on his head. And he lived, and he got like extorted. He got they kicked him out of his little town because he didn't have a point.
Wait, who does have a point on their head?
Narrated by Ringo Starr.
What?
And the music was by Harry Nilsson. It's so beautiful.
Wow. But I still don't understand the point. Most of the people in this cartoon have points on their heads.
Yeah, they all had points.
Where?
Yeah, it was pretty cute. And illustrations are really cool. You like, should look it up. It's I really love it.
Like points like unicorns. Like,
oh God, no! Like yeah, like a point.
Oh
just
God,
like a point that I hate unicorns. Like a point on their head, you know. And then he was born with a round head, and then his mother knitted him a little pointed cap.
Ah.
And oh, it's just.
That sounds
really
adorable.
Kids were really mean to him. And yeah, it's really amazing.
Okay, I will give it to you that sounds better than 101 Dalmatians. I will give that to you because that sounds really adorable and nice.
Yeah, it's really, really sweet. And I mean, narrated by Ringo Starr, come on. And the music is by Harry Nilsson. It doesn't get better than that.
I mean, that's really nice. That's really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, are you guys going to just like dork out all day on 101 Dalmatians, or are you going to start talking about something else?
I mean,
well, Marta, we could guess which band you were in.
What?
If you wanna, if you wanna play this game.
What?
So it was revealed. So for those of you who don't know, and I'm including Sean in this, yeah. It was revealed last week through conversation that Marta was involved in the music scene in the Lower East Side in the 90s here in the city, but she won't tell me which band she was in. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Unless you name it.
That's right. If I guess it, she's allowed to tell me.
Oh, my God.
Was it White Hassle?
No. Okay, well, let's just not all this silence on the radio. Okay, if you think of it while I'm talking, just blurt it out.
Okay.
But did you hear about the pigeon, Adelaide?
Adelaide the pigeon. Wait, the pigeon in Adelaide, or its name was Adelaide?
Oh, what the hell is Adelaide? Is that another Disney film?
No. No, it's a city in Australia.
Oh, okay. Adelaide.
There's also
Adelaide is...
This is telling me that there is a place in Adelaide called the Adelaide Pigeon Club.
Really?
And it's they every year they select a bird of the year. And they're Australia's most exciting club, if you believe their website.
Oh, okay. Well, there's this story that's going around right now. It's this woman went away for 2 weeks. This just happened. She went away for 2 weeks and left. She lives in Williamsburg. Left her window cracked open. And when she got back... She walked into her apartment and she heard, like, you know, the pigeons just flying around all crazy. And so she was like, oh, shit, there's a bird in here. So she opened up her window wide and then the bird flew out. Well, then the next day she left her window open. The pigeon came back and has laid eggs in a colander, an orange colander. And so the pigeon is coming in and out of her apartment and warming up the eggs and getting ready for them to hatch. And it's a really adorable story because this woman is a kind woman and has allowed this to happen and is letting it go. You know, it was just like on the news and all kinds of stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, my God, Marta.
Wow.
This is like your dream life, you know?
I know.
Because you love pigeons, right? That's like the one thing that I know about you.
Yeah, that would be a dream for me, for sure. Yeah, a pigeon coming in and laying eggs in my colander. Yeah, that would be incredible.
Well, you, what did you let Stella go? Stella is the bird that Marta rescued from a pizza place.
Oh, my goodness. Is Stella
gone? Injured pigeon.
No, remember, Stella was a baby pigeon.
Oh.
Duh, oh. Colby.
I'm sorry.
God, Colby.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Stella was a baby
Stella
pigeon.
It's
that
been
you
a
rescued.
Couple weeks since we've heard from Stella, so I apologize.
Yeah. Okay, so Stella was a baby pigeon, couldn't fly, was all dirty and grungy, and I brought her home and bathed her and took care of her for 6 weeks, and I let her go out my window. And I hadn't seen her, and she didn't, like, join my flock that I feed. But then today, of all days, I was walking by a park nearby my apartment, and I think I saw Stella.
Wow.
How do you recognize her? Like, how did you know?
Oh, I know. I know every pigeon. But Stella is like, has oily feathers, and she's a checker. I know like the different names of them, you know, like they're called checker pigeons. And okay. She has a big nose, and she, she has her back feathers are kind of broken up. So I knew as soon as I put my arms up for them to fly off, I said, oh, God, if that's her, you know, the feathers will be missing in the back. Sorry, everybody, if I'm boring everyone. About
No, I am riveted. I didn't even know that pigeons could have a big nose.
Yeah, yeah. And so she, well, beak, I call it a nose.
Sure.
But, and so when she flew off, the feathers were tattered like Stella. And so I'm really excited, and I'm going to go back there, tomorrow, same time, and just see if I see her again.
Oh, my God.
You
it's
should.
Like a love story.
Now, picture this, yeah. Marta, if you would. So, you open your window one morning, and Stella flies right up to the windowsill, right? Flies right
yeah.
to the windowsill. And she says, Marta. And you go, you can talk? And Stella goes, yeah.
Oh my God.
And then she says, guess what? And you go, what? And then she goes, I just took a big dump on Tim Keck.
That would be perfect.
I found him.
Oh my God.
I found him walking around. And I was like, that's
oh my
the
God.
Guy.
She might actually do that.
I think if we see her, we got to see what she's up to.
Oh, you know what? Tim is going to call in a little bit, and he's going to be all dorking out with you guys on 101 Dalmatians. I mean, there's no doubt he's got to be like a total goofball and probably can totally like really have a good time talking about that
Tim,
with you guys.
The gauntlet has been thrown. You're
going to
call in and be a total goofball? You're
going
to call in every week?
Marta just told us a really beautiful, heartwarming story.
Yeah, and then Tim calls up and he's like, oh, these pigeons, I don't think humans should be friends with them.
Yeah. Marta, can I tell you something? Last spring, there was a turtle dove right outside my window that laid eggs, like my bedroom window. And it was the sweetest thing in the world. And I was going through a hard time and I looked up what they represent. And they said that they represent like that peace is coming, which was like a very beautiful message. How do you feel about birds delivering like existential, beautiful messages like that?
Oh, well, that's really sweet. Did they hatch?
No, actually what ended up happening is like, you know, like the mom bird was like sitting there and the dad bird kept like going and getting twigs and like building a nest around her. Like it was so beautiful. But then what happened was one day they moved the nest because there was like a bad storm and there was like rain, like it was raining really bad. So they moved the nest.
Oh.
So they were really smart and responsible parents, frankly. But I still felt like they came to tell me that peace was coming. Do you think that's possible?
They told you that peace was coming?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course. I talk to the pigeons all the time, for sure they can tell you all kinds of things. But if they're telling you peace is coming, I mean, there's nothing better than that.
Oh my God, it was so good. I mean, that's what Google told me. To be fair, like I googled like what does it mean when turtle doves like present themselves to you.
Aww,
so Google, I know Google's not like the most reliable source, but I felt like it resonated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Me and Marta, we could talk for hours. Tim, don't you dare call and ruin this moment between me and Marta.
Tim's running out of time anyway, so.
All right.
So.
Good.
Marta, thank you so much for calling. I hope to talk to you next week. I'll have another guest ready for you by then.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay.
Bye, Marta.
Keep thinking about what band I was in.
I will.
We're gonna come
Wait,
up
let me
with
see.
It.
I'll give you a hint.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let me think of a hint. Boy, see, let me not give away anything. Let me try. Okay. The band was on We were on a late night show. We were on a couple of late night shows.
I'm gonna guess that you were on Conan.
Was one of them.
Conan was one of them. Okay.
That was one show we were on. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Marta, I know you have to go, but I am going to without even if I don't guess it, I'm gonna ask you questions about that in the future, just so you know.
Yes.
Because if you want to talk about it, I would love to hear about it. I think it would be good for the show.
Okay, sounds good.
Again, okay. All right, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye, you guys. Get going and dork out.
Thanks, Marta.
Bye.
Bye.
She's got to get me back for all the business I was giving her last week about being in a famous band.
That's our Marta.
That's right. Now, Shauna, we're coming into the last chunk of the show here.
All right.
We have about 10 minutes left.
All right.
We are going to do something that I do with all of my guests.
Okay.
Which is we are going to play a quick round of either or.
Okay.
This is a very simple game.
I give you
two options and you pick one. And if anybody, if you say anything that the listeners want to argue with, they can
call me
at 904-606.
I dare you.
0842. That's 904-606-0842. Now, the first one, karaoke or bar trivia?
Oh, my God. They're both so fun, but I think bar trivia.
Okay. So if you were going to do karaoke,
yeah,
private room or open bar?
Open bar, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, everyone deserves to hear me.
This is by far the most divisive of these questions.
What?
Yeah.
No, private room people, you're thinking too small.
Okay.
You're thinking too small.
Okay.
Fight me.
Oh, I don't want to fight you. I'm a private room guy.
Oh, okay. You're shy is what it is. You're afraid to let the world hear your beautiful voice.
I don't know. I think it's because I've also talked on the show about going to like a giant like open bar place with like a stage and singing Because the Night and nailing it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you sing one, you don't want to stop. You don't want to have to like wait a long time to go back up. So I feel like that's the advantage of the private room.
I hear you. Yeah, I get it. But I feel like I deserve a bigger stage. Sorry.
Okay, here is the next one. Going to the movies or watching something at home?
Going to the movies.
Yes, this is less divisive.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that. The movies are special.
Yes.
There's rules. Rules? Underrated when watching a movie.
Yeah, sure.
Underrated. Yeah. No talking, no texting.
Yeah.
No, like, being loud with your candy wrappers and shit. Everyone knows you try to be quiet and you respect that we're all watching a movie.
I have found that I prefer, if I'm going to see, like, a long movie.
Yeah.
Like Silence was, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
I have to go to the theater.
Of course.
Because
who's
it's
gonna
the
finish
only,
that at home?
Exactly. It's the only time I'm going to, like, set aside the 3 hours to watch the whole thing, and that I'm going to concentrate on it for that
long. Right, no, when you're at home, you get up to wash the dishes while the movie's
on.
Like, come on.
I, last fall, went to watch The Deer Hunter for the first time.
Okay.
And I had, like, two friends over, and we stopped halfway through and, like, went and got pizza and
came
back and finished it. And, you know, you need to. You need to
you're
at home.
You gotta when you're at home. Yeah, going to the movies for sure.
Here's one just for you.
Okay.
Colin Mochrie or Ryan Stiles?
Oh, give me a fucking break. Colin!
Yes.
And this was my issue, okay, with your episode on Whose Line.
Okay, here we go.
This was not properly addressed.
Yes.
Because, I'll be honest, I didn't listen to the whole thing. Maybe you got to it. But I listened to part of it, and there was such little Colin talk. He barely came up. Colin is the dreamboat star of Whose Line Is It Anyway? He is the best.
There wasn't that much Colin talk. I'll admit there wasn't that much.
I don't even see how you can not talk about Colin when you talk
about
that show.
People, by the way, have come out of the woodwork since I've done that Whose Line episode just to say, oh, yeah, that show.
Colin is the best.
People
if you
have
don't
opinions
think so,
on
go
it.
Go back and watch it, and you will see.
Yeah.
Maybe as a child, you didn't think he was cool because he was bald. No.
His
baldness is what makes him amazing some of the time.
I'll also say this about the Whose Line episode. I did a lot of research beforehand, like looking at interviews with like various cast members, and I played a little bit of him talking about it at the top.
Yeah.
But they all seem like all the core people seem to have like a very like enlightened attitude about it. They're just like, yeah, it was just kind of like a fun, dumb thing we did at the time. Like, they don't think it was like good or anything. They have like a very like good attitude of like they get it. They get it.
Absolutely.
It was like,
I mean, it's just like those improvisers can all do long form like nobody's business. Like they can do like real scene work. Like they can put on real like deep, meaningful like plays.
Yeah.
So when you're asking them to like make up a song about farting, like it's, to them, it's not going to be like the most serious work they
have. Yeah, of course. But it was, I don't know. That was refreshing.
Ryan's amazing. He always had the best shoes. Colin's the best shoes. Player.
Yeah. So I saw Colin and Brad. Sherwood.
Oh, the Colin and Brad show.
Two man show in like 2006, maybe 2005. Yeah, it was great. Oh, it was. I was like in high school.
They're pros.
It was awesome. Yeah. Ryan Stiles. Yeah. Has his version of that with Greg Proops and Jeff Davis. And they're coming to New York next month.
What?
And I tried tweeting at them about the radio show to see if they would get me it for free.
Oh, you gotta get them. Gotta get them.
So, you know, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any last ones? No? Okay. This is a question I've been meaning to ask guests for a long time.
All right.
It's not an either or, but we'll end on this.
Okay.
What is a movie that you know is bad that you enjoy anyway?
Crossroads.
Oh, the Britney Spears vehicle.
Movie.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's a terrible movie, and I love it.
But it is, it's terrible in ways that are so joyful.
Exactly. like Britney Spears does karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in the movie, she does, like, that is a blatant, like, just, we want this in the trailer, Britney Spears singing.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most obvious dumb move in the world, but she's amazing.
She does karaoke.
She sings I Love Rock and Roll.
She sings I Love Rock and Roll with two of her friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't two of her friends get involved?
Absolutely.
At some point?
Yeah. It's like lightly choreographed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's
so good.
And that's how she gets like this attention from the record company.
They
see her at this karaoke night.
There's so much of them driving around in a convertible with the wind in their hair.
Yeah.
There's so much like will they, won't they stuff.
Yeah.
It's
also saying that Zoe Saldana is in the movie and she's not like the hot one.
She's not the hot one.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, that's insane.
And we should mention that rounding out the main cast is Pensatucky from Orange is the New Black.
That's right.
A real Motley Crue.
A real Motley Crue, yeah. But they nail it. It's a great, fun movie.
Yes. Well, Shauna, we're almost out of time here.
Oh, my God.
We are almost out of time.
Let me say one last thing about Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Marta. I know you're rolling your eyes. Deal with it. Her name is Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
What hope does she have of rising above her blind spots?
I thought you were just going to stop there.
Frankly, I don't need to say anything else. You know what? That's all I have to say.
Her name is Cruella de Vil,
people.
And then there's just a long...
Give her a break!
There's just a long silence, and then I fade the outro up.
Yeah. All right, look. I feel like I got it all off my chest now. I just needed to say that.
Yeah, I think this is good. I think we needed to work through some stuff, and we did it.
Yes!
Now, Shauna, where can people find you? If they want more Shauna Stultz.
Oh, my God. I have a web series called Stultz Foos, which is my last name. You can find that on Facebook.
Which is spelled?
Stoltzfoos. And, you know, I'm around. I do stand-up. I do sketch comedy with a group called Barbara Bush. We're all females. We do a show inside the human body. It's great. You can find us doing that all over. Yeah.
And you mentioned doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
You are doing stand-up this very night.
This night
at Muchmore's in Williamsburg at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited.
That I'm co-hosting with Matt Strickland.
It's going to be a good show. You have to come.
Have you met Matt Strickland?
No.
You will. He's dope.
Hi, Matt.
We got a bunch of people on. Andrew Ritchie is doing it. Emily Duncan is doing it. One of the stars of Glengarry Glen Escalator.
Oh, my God.
Steve Wallen is doing it. Mr. Jokes.
Bring him on.
It's a lot of fun people are going to be on the show.
Be such a good show.
By all means,
come out, Brooklyn.
For that. And by the way, Peg LeClaire, if you're listening, call in next week. I've been trying to get you to call since the Who's Line episode. Call in, Peg. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Young Persons Radio with me, your host, Colby Smith. We are right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. I want to mention to everybody before we go that you can find me on Twitter at Colby J. Smith as usual, and that we will be back next week with another Radio Free Brooklyn star. Lisa Levy is going to be here next week, who hosts the Thursday at 2 p.m. show, Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, which is a really great show that you guys should check out if you haven't already. But she'll be in here talking next week. We're going to talk about art. She's an artist. She worked in advertising for many years and is now a full-time freelancer. She has a show on this network where she psychoanalyzes her guests live on the air.
Oh, my God. I
want to
do that.
And that's really great. Julio Torres has done it. A bunch of, like, really cool comedy people and artists and everybody has done it. So check that show out. That's on the Radio Free Brooklyn archives as well. This has been Young Persons Radio with me, Colby Smith. Thank you again to my guest, Shauna Stultz-Foos, for coming by. And we'll see you guys next week. We're going to go out to a song by Sweet Spirit from their new album, Saint Mojo. Goodbye!
Bye-bye!